Cross Jeffries, and welcome once again to Getting Up to Speed with Speed Seduction. This is going to be a very fun module. This is module 4, where we get into conversational frameworks, transition phrases, sexual accelerators, and phonetic ambiguity. Once again, I want to remind you that this is copyright 2008, Gita Services and Ross Jeffries, all rights reserved. However, I encourage you to spread these modules around. You can post them on your website, on a blog, email them to friends. Do whatever you want, provided you keep the content intact. You don't change anything, don't add anything, don't subtract anything. All of the links are left intact and you give it away for free. Let's get going. You're really going to enjoy this. This is a fun one. So I want to talk first about conversational frameworks. Now, bear in mind that when we do speed seduction, even though we're doing some pretty interesting and covert stuff, we want to present it in a way where it feels safe, it feels right, it feels normal, interesting, even to the point where women want more, where they're drawing us forward because they want more of what we have to offer. So it doesn't really work to just walk up to someone in the world and start spewing embedded commands. We have to create a conversational framework. And conversational frameworks are just ways of introducing the tools, introducing the themes, introducing the topics, and the structures that enable us to embed the smaller tools. So it's very simple. Conversational frameworks are just ways of bringing up the subject. You can see them here. For example, saying, I was thinking the other day about, or you know what I think is very interesting? How people feel a connection with someone who you're really going to get to like. However, you can realize that's happening. So conversational frameworks take the form of talking about what you're thinking, talking about what you read. Again, it's almost like a quotes pattern, but not quite. For example, when you say, you know what I think is so interesting? You're not quoting anyone, but you are bringing up something that you think is interesting. So in a sense, you're quoting yourself. But do you know what I think is interesting? Or I think it's so interesting. Or I think you can notice and learn so much about people. Now, I want you to think a minute what this means. When you say, I think you can learn so much about people, the implication is, hey, are you someone who's interested in learning about yourself and other people? You're not saying it directly, but it's almost like a test for the other person. What are they going to say? No, I have no interest in learning about other people. Who cares about learning? Even if they don't care about learning, to say that would make them look bad. So in a sense, one of the clever things about some conversational frameworks is they present a challenge. They set a frame where, hey, I, the speaker, Ross, am interested in learning about people. Are you, Debbie Big Tits, also a person of depth and value who wants to learn about people? And of course, we can use quotes, our old friend, our dear, dear friend quotes. You know, I was watching the show on the Discovery Channel, or I was talking to a friend. Sometimes what I like to do is stack quotes. I'll quote a friend who is quoting a friend who is quoting a friend. So I'll say, like, the other day I was talking to a friend, and he was saying that his cousin has a neighbor who told her. When you stack realities like that, it has sort of a hypnotic effect because people consciously lose track of who's actually doing the speaking. And when they consciously lose track, the unconscious tends to open up to suggestion powerfully. Now, as you do that, think about it. And another conversational framework, have you ever noticed or did you ever think about? And again, when you talk about did you ever notice or have you ever thought about, the implication is you're sort of testing, like, are you an alert person in the world or are you a dumbass? So these are some conversational frameworks. One of the things I recommend you do is get a little notepad and write down just two or three conversational frameworks. You don't have to know all of them. In any kind of good road to mastery, you just need to know two or three things and get them down. So that's conversational frameworks. What are transition phrases? Transition phrases are ways to allow you to move from one pattern to another pattern, from one topic to another topic. Let's say you just did the Discovery Channel pattern and you want to transition to the blowjob pattern. By the way, you can find all of these patterns written out in the pattern archive that's part of the Speed Seduction Starter Kit, which should be included here. You should see a link in there somewhere where you can download the starter kit and you'll find a whole archive of these patterns. But let's say you wanted to transition from the Discovery Channel pattern to the blowjob pattern. All you have to do is say, you know, here's the other thing I find interesting about that. And that's the difference between compulsion and anticipation. Now, if you know the blowjob pattern, that's the start of the blowjob pattern. So it's very easy. And there doesn't actually have to be a real logical connection between the first thing you talked about and the second. It just has to appear that there is by you simply saying, here's another thing I found interesting about that. But here's something else I think is really interesting to learn about. Now, there's no actual logical connection, but the structure of it implies that there is, and the unconscious recognizes structure rather than content. So it says, okay, I'll just go along with this. So you see some of the transition phrases here. Another thing I find interesting, here's something else I learned. I find you can really learn a lot about noticing. You notice, again, a common theme here is learning and finding your world interesting. And it tends to be the kind of thing that people don't resist because no one wants to give the appearance of being uninterested in learning. It's like being uninterested in keeping your personal hygiene together. It's considered a bad thing. So that's the purpose of transition phrases and how they work. So how would it work? Well, the structure would be first you do your walk-up, your intro. And then you do your first pattern, whatever that might be. Blowjob, Discovery Channel, Incredible Connection. Then you want to test for readiness. You want to see, is she getting hot? And at the same time, is she comfortable? Now, that's pretty easy to observe. When you use this stuff, they're going to have some pretty strong responses. You don't have to get super good at micro-calibration, seeing like, you know, is her little corner of her eye here flushing or changing color? You don't need to do any of that because you'll see strong responses. Then you go into a transition phrase. Here's something else I find really interesting about when you connect with someone. Or here's another thing I learned. Or you know what else my friend was saying about that? My friend was saying, then you go into the second pattern. You test for readiness. Another way to test for readiness is to make some kind of physical move. Take her hand, look in her eyes. Lean forward as if you're about to kiss her, then pull back. Let's deal with sexual accelerators. Now, a very important thing to realize is we're not average frustrated chumps. We don't view going for it as something you do at the end of an evening or the end of watching entertainment provided by a third party. If you view going for it or closing as something that only happens at the end of a chain of events, then you're going to get into trouble. That's not a useful way of thinking about it. Now, I invite you to notice, and that's a good weasel phrase, by the way, I invite you to notice how your thinking probably is programmed to think about closing the deal as something you do at the end of an evening. Think of how that limits your sense of what you pay attention to. What if she's showing you within the first 3 minutes that she wants to kiss you? You see, if you think of closing as something you only do at the end of the evening, not only do you limit your behavior, your choices of behavior, but you also limit what you can even pay attention to because that's not on your map even to pay attention to. So I hope you can see throughout these modules and throughout your career being a student with me as we continue to learn together that a big piece of this is not just the behaviors, but what I teach you about how your thinking has been restricted in this area. And again, as I've said in an earlier module, if you feel that you're a loser in the dating game, it's structured for you to lose because of the way you've been programmed. So this whole notion of closing, I want you to get rid of that. Make up your own word. Call it blah, 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 or Google fucker burger burger. By the way, years ago, back in 93 when I was first teaching, I told my students to get rid of the word confidence because confidence has too many pre-programmed notions. I said, come up with a word. Call it Google. I came up with Google because there's a number called Googleplex in math. So I said, call it Google. This is way before Google. So I think closing is a very bad metaphor, and I think you can see why, because it implies it's something you do at the end of a chain of events, at the end of a sequence. Now, I know I've talked about recipes. I've said, you know, with the proper recipe, there has to be a sequence, things you do in a certain order. However, I don't want you to think of closing as part of a sequential recipe. I want you instead to think of constantly drawing her in towards physical intimacy with you and sexual desire and feeling close to you and wanting to be with you. And that's something that's going on constantly throughout the seduction from the moment you first look at her till the time you decide you want to kick her out of your house or out of your life, or God forbid you want to get married, and then you still have to keep seducing. So I really want you to get rid of the notion of closing and come up with a different word. Now, something else. When you first get this power to get women really turned on, if you've lived a lifetime not having it, you can go crazy. When I first was learning this stuff, I would want to see women's heads pop. There used to be a movie called Scanners. You can Google it, or there's that word again. Look on YouTube, but Scanners was about psychics who could make people's heads explode. So when you first learn these tools, and you see these tools are powerful, they really work, you can then enjoy doing it because you get off on it. You're enjoying getting women turned on because you're getting turned on rather than as something that's part of the seduction. So when you do sexual accelerators, you only want to do enough to get her into the right sexual state. If you press the state into too much intensity, it will either break through into another state like confusion or resistance, or it will just be so strong that the circuit shut down. There's only so much sexual energy a person can take, and if you pile it on and pile it on, it won't be a sign for her to move forward. It'll be a sign for her that she's being overwhelmed. And I like to tell this story. A student once said to me, you know, Ross, I was doing your stuff with a girl in a bar, and she was getting so turned on. She gave me this awesome kiss, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm just one beer away from fucking your brains out. And he said, so I transitioned into the blowjob pattern, and from there I went into a demo. But eventually she just seemed to be bored, and she walked away. What pattern should I have used? I said, I have a one-word pattern for you. Bartender! He should have bought her the drink. You know, I know I say don't buy things to get women, but she was ready. He should have recognized she was ready and took her home. So there are different kinds of sexual accelerators. Of course, here we see quotes. Our dear, dear friend quotes. Quotes is such a versatile tool. And it's really interesting with speed seduction. Sometimes if you just use one or two tools and you already have good game, it'll accelerate your game really well. Now, I want you to use all the tools, but quotes by itself can be very powerful. So I want you to look at this, and in this example, I am going to read from the slide. Embedded commands are in blue, the embedded suggestions are in green, and the setup for the quotes is in red. Okay, so let's watch this. I'm going to lean on it when I say it so you can hear it. I don't normally lean on it in the real world. Okay, you know, you never know when a person is starting to feel that attraction growing, even to the point where it's on. Sometimes when you do, people say the strongest things. Like my neighbor told me, her friend said, the guy looked at her and said, I'd like to eat your pussy all night long, then fuck your brains out at dawn. Did he really expect her to picture that? Want to act on it now? Fuck me if I'd put up with that. So, now I'm leaning on it here, but I want you to look at this and see, you know, we see the embedded commands. Feel that attraction going. Picture that. Act on it now. Fuck me. Notice that little bit I said, act on it now. Fuck me if I'd put up with that. Am I saying act on it now, fuck me? Or am I saying act on it now? Fuck me if I'd put up with that. See what I mean? We have a little something there, a different kind of ambiguity, which is punctuation ambiguity. You don't know when the sentence ends. Let's talk about sexual metaphor phonetic ambiguity. Of all the things I teach, phonetic ambiguity is the most taken out of context by the press, and it's the most emphasized. Now, phonetic ambiguity only works at the end of a chain of patternings, the end of a chain of suggestions. Because if you've already got her turned on and feeling really excited and picturing fucking you, then she will interpret the phonetic ambiguity in a sexual way, and it will work. If she's not already in that horny state through the other things you're doing, the phonetic ambiguity will not be interpreted properly by her unconscious. So here are some phonetic ambiguities. And if you want to get good at this, write these down. You can always go back to these, to this presentation. Blow and below, as in the blowjob pattern. Those thoughts are really from below me, Debbie. Come and come. And this is one that was popular in the recent election here in America. I kept hearing, America needs to move in a new direction. New direction, nude erection. I use that a lot. Succeed, succeed. It's amazing, Debbie, when you feel your opening. Feel your opening, does that mean masturbate or feel that you are opening inside? When you feel your opening for an amazing new direction you want to take, it's important that you can see yourself wanting to succeed. You know you want to succeed because anything else would just be below me, and I'm sure it would be below you. Get it? But your mind, now, that's not necessarily a sexual phonetic ambiguity that leads to a sexual direction, but it is interesting. Am I saying your mind? You know, when you realize, when you know your mind very carefully and inside your mind, am I saying inside your mind, meaning you're my possession or your mind? Sexual metaphors. These sexual metaphors don't contain any phonetic ambiguity, but they are sexual metaphors. Go down, opening, feel your opening. Well, there is an ambiguity there. Am I saying, again, you are opening up to me or you're opening your vagina? Penetrate, take it in. As we see from the Discovery Channel pattern, take this ride, get off. Now, I want to emphasize again, these things don't work in isolation. If you use the tool incorrectly and just throw some phonetic ambiguities at a woman, sexual metaphor, it's not going to work. But at the end of a chain of suggestions, a series of patterns, then it's going to be interpreted properly by the unconscious mind. And another good sexual accelerator is a damn good kiss and a damn good touch. And I want to say kissing is not that big a deal. Again, if you look at kissing as something you do at the end of an evening, you've been programmed by movies, and you're going to fuck yourself up. You're going to block your own cock. Sometimes the best accelerator is just getting physical. Now, I do have, in terms of erotic touch, there are certain spots like the palm here, the thumb, the back of the neck, the small of the back. If you want a good example of these, I have my Irresistible Arousal DVD. If you go to speedseduction.biz and you click on the products link, you'll see Irresistible Arousal is listed there. And you'll see me demonstrating live with women in my seminars, and you'll see how frickin' turned on they get. I do want to emphasize again, physical contact is not something you do at the end of anything. It's something that's always ongoing. Now, I have no problem kissing someone, but if you feel you need a setup, here's what you do. You say, if you were to rate yourself as a kisser on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you'd rate? If you were to, see that weasel phrase, if you were to, if I were to, if they were to? Great weasel phrase. Did you catch that? If you were to rate yourself as a kisser on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you rate? And then no matter what she says, 5 or 10, you say, let's find out. You lean in and you kiss her. See? There's also what I call the triangle gaze. Now, I don't have a woman here to demonstrate. With a triangle gaze, you look in one eye, you look in the other eye, you look down to her lips, you look in one of the eyes again, then you lean in and kiss. I don't think kissing's a big deal. I want to also introduce a few miscellaneous treats. These are things that I just didn't have time to bring up in any of the modules. They didn't seem to fit, but they're fun. Let me talk a little bit about phone game. Guys often say to me, well, you know, I got the phone number and then she never called me back. Again, as I say, aiming at behaviors like getting her to give you the phone number is the wrong thing to aim at. You want to aim at getting her attracted, filled with desire. You want to aim at the emotional states. But let's say that you do have a really good connection, and for whatever reason you don't have time to accelerate it and continue it then and there. You exchange information. Well, how do you exchange information? I think you should, again, use some embedded commands. Say, you know, pace the situation. I realize I get it going. You got to get it going too, but I could see us hanging out, really enjoying ourselves. But I could see us hanging out, really enjoying ourselves. So you're pacing the situation. I'm really busy, so are you. But I could see us hanging out, really enjoying ourselves. Now there's a command, see us hanging out, and it's being vague. Did I say what we're going to do? No, I left it vague because her imagination will fill in the blank, and really enjoying ourselves. That's a little suggestion there, I nod my head. Now I'm not saying how we're enjoying ourselves or where we're enjoying ourselves or what we're doing. By keeping it blank, she fills in the blank so she doesn't resist it. It seems to match. And sometimes I'll have women even say to me, gee, I don't know how you knew exactly what I wanted to do when we were hanging out. It's like you read my mind. Well, no, I didn't read your mind. I blanked your mind and you filled it in. So let's say you get all that, you call her, and oftentimes nowadays you're just going to get the voicemail. So here's the message I leave, something like this. I'll say, hey, Debbie, it's Ross. I don't know where you'll be when you get this message or what you'll be doing when you get it, but I do know that maybe you can remember the fun we had meeting and want to talk again. I'm at 555-6666. Why don't you give me a call? See if you can catch me. Now, let's take a minute to parse this. First of all, hey, Debbie, it's your name. So you don't need an explanation for that. I assume if you're smart enough to be watching this, you're not enough of a dumbass to have to have me explain that. Now, watch how I pace this. I say, I don't know where you'll be when you get this message. Now, that's a pace for the ongoing reality. It's also disarming. It's saying, hey, I don't know. Which is true. Who can argue when you say, I don't know? So I don't know where you'll be when you get this message. It's a pace. It's saying, hey, you're somewhere, right? It's also a truism. Obviously, she's going to be somewhere when she gets it. Or what you'll be doing when you get it, okay? So that paces the fact that she has an ongoing life going on, but she's stopping to listen to your message. The implication is your message is important. Did you catch how sneaky that was? Or what you'll be doing when you get it. Well, if she's doing something when she gets it, the implication, the mental image is that she's busy somehow. And yet she's taking the time to listen to the message, which implies very sneakily that the message and listening to it, and therefore responding to it, is important. See how sneaky this is? I don't know, I'm going to say it one more time so you get it. Or what you'll be doing when you get it. It implies that she is doing something, and therefore she's busy, and therefore if she's listening to the message, it must be important. And therefore returning the call is probably important. But I do know that maybe, now maybe again, is a disarmer. It's not saying you will, or you can, or you should. Maybe. It's just a possibility, so she's not going to resist it. But I do know that maybe you can remember the fun we had meeting. Now, what was that, guys? Remember the fun we had meeting. It's an embedded command. An embedded command to engage in a train of thought, to have a certain kind of thinking. Remember the fun we had meeting. Now, did I tell her what to select from that memory? Did I say, remember how I've told you this joke about so-and-so and you laughed for 2 seconds? No. It's vague. And because it's vague, she's going to select that aspect of the memory that was most fun for her, and that's what she'll remember. This is really simple. Once you get it, see, from the outside, if you watched a guy doing this and you saw the response the woman was giving, you think, this is magic. And it's kind of magic, but really it's mechanics. It's just there's certain principles of operation for influencing people. When you get really good at this, you'll begin to see it, how people use it naturally anyway. They just don't know what they're doing. You will, and you're already starting to. Are you not? So you can remember the fun we had meeting and want to talk again. Now, you're telling her again how to interpret her remembering the fun of the meeting. See? She could have the memory and still not want to do anything, but you're saying, and want to talk again. That's an embedded suggestion. It's telling her how to interpret that train of thinking she just had. I'm at 555-6666. That's just a statement of how, and then you say, why don't you give me a call? See if you can catch me. Now, look at that. See if you can catch me. Can you tell me what the ambiguity is there, guys? There's a certain ambiguity there. It's not a phonetic ambiguity, but what does it mean, see if you can catch me? Well, there's a couple of things implied in there. First of all, it implies that you're really busy. You're not sitting around by the phone, right? Second thing, it sets the frame that you're a busy person. She's going to have to work a little bit to get you. Now, you're not saying it. You're not saying, I'm a very busy, valuable person. I'm probably fucking a lot of women, so you're going to have to make some effort to get a hold of me. You're not saying it. If you say it, it's resistive. When you imply it, you blank her mind. She fills in the blank, has the thought for herself, so it must be true because she thought it, right? It's pretty fucking clever stuff. I think you might even begin to see the power of using these tools in other areas of life. Could they be useful for business and sales? Oh, yeah. Will I do a course on that? Oh, yeah. I'll let you know. So why don't you give me a call, see if you can catch me. Now, there's another ambiguity there. Does catch me mean catch me as a boyfriend, catch me as a guy, or does it mean get a hold of me on the phone? Really clever. And I think you can see also the power of combining all these tools in a very short expression. If you look at it, it's only like this, maybe 4 sentences. You know, I didn't really put in the punctuation here properly, but it's maybe 4 or 5 sentences. But look how much we're using working together. And as I've said in an earlier module, anytime you combine tools in a short period of time, you're on your way to victory. And again, I gave this away. I'm asking here, did you spot the commands and suggestions? But write me, give me your answers. There's the subject line. There's my email. And again, notice the pacing and disarming. Even though I'm really powerfully leading and structuring this person's thoughts, I want them to always have the perception that they're participating, that they're creating it, or at least co-creating it for themselves. At least in this phase of the seduction. Later on when we're having sex, it's okay to be dominant and even make her or lead her to submit. But right now, I want her to get the perception that it's completely, you know, comfortable and it's all good. So when I say, I don't know, it's disarming. It's one of my favorite things to say. Now, here's some other things that are miscellaneous, but they're just so much fun, I had to throw them in. Here's one, I have a boyfriend. We get this often. So this is what I call the autopilot response. Women often have responses that are not their real response. It's just the first response coming out of their mouth. And I have a rule that says, I seldom take a woman's first response to me as written in stone. It's almost always a reflection of what she's feeling or thinking in that moment, and it's almost always subject to change. So she says, I have a boyfriend. Now, what do most guys do? They either plow ahead and ignore it, or they argue, or they give up, or they start to give reasons why she should date them. And it's a stupid set of choices. Here's the better choice. So I tend to diffuse it with humor. I'll say, so are you saying game over or just bringing up a logistical problem? Now, the implication of that is you understand that, oh, come on, boyfriend, so what? He's probably not pleasing you. I'm not saying that. The implication is the boyfriend's not really pleasing her and she is interested, but I didn't say it. So are you saying game over or just that there's a logistical problem? And then here's another one. Boyfriends are like colds. You can catch one at any time. Doesn't mean you can't shake him off. Now, if she does this and nods her head unconsciously, I'll do the little head nod at the end of any of these. If she does like this unconsciously, it means she's with you. It's a good test. Clever little thing, huh? So you can catch one anytime. Doesn't mean you can't shake it off. And you know, oftentimes when women are unhappy, they'll do their boyfriend just like that, like a pain in the ass or a cold that they want to get rid of. Here's another one. Well, that's good news. You'll have something to do when I'm out of town. It's discharging it with humor. So you're saying the bridge is out or there's just a bump in the road. Now notice here we're using some metaphors. Metaphors are often a way of getting around habitual ways of thinking. When I say the bridge is out or there's just a bump in the road, I'm using the metaphor of the bridge, okay? So when she says she has a boyfriend, is that like saying the bridge between she and I is gone or there's just a little bump in the road? So sneaking metaphor in is also something very powerful. I go into that extensively in my courses that you'll have to fucking buy, cheap ass. Okay. Negation. That's great for last minute resistance. So if a woman says, this is happening too fast, we should stop. I'll say, you're right. I shouldn't be touching your amazing breasts. So I narrate what I shouldn't be doing as I'm doing it. You shouldn't feel even more turned on. I really can't be pulling off your panties going down on you. We absolutely must not fuck like crazed animals now. So when you use negation, and I want you to use negation powerfully, what happens is sometimes you're narrating what you shouldn't be doing as you're doing it. You're telling her what she shouldn't be feeling as she's feeling it. And you're telling her the actions that you shouldn't take together as you take them together. Fun pattern. So for a full list of my products and events and seminars, go to speedseduction.biz. You want to check out my coaching program? The first month is $1. You could already be watching this as part of the coaching program. Maybe you're seeing it because someone passed it around. Go to www.rjcoaching.com. www.rjcoaching.com. I recommend my latest course, Speed Seduction 3.0. You see the link there, speedseduction.biz/30promo. That's my latest course, my first complete new home study course in nearly 12 years. It represents 12 years of learning and improvement and growth and honing the technology, coming up with completely new concepts. I should say, if you're watching this and you've never bought a product before or come to a seminar, what you're seeing here has been impressive, but honestly, it's like maybe 1/5 or even just 1/10 of the technology that I've developed. You're really just getting enough to get you going, but there's a hell of a lot more. Give me your feedback. Keep these modules free. Don't change anything. Spread them around. And there's my email. Please keep in touch with me. I love being your teacher. Thanks a lot.